coming in as Loeb. Go with Dyke Center net.
Flame bench, there's all kinds of excitement going on there.
Scores! Roll the highlight reel. 6-0 Flames.
You can't put it in the win column.
Yeah, baby, yeah, baby, yeah, baby.
This is Flames Talk with Pat Steinberg and Wes Gilbertson on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
All right, let's get it going. It is Monday, March 10th, and we are underway this hour on Flames Talk. Pat Steinberg and Wes Gilbertson of Post Media along with you. And welcome to the Sports Drive, brought to you by Calgary Lock and Safe. Did you know that barrier-free access doors are required for commercial entrances and public washrooms? Are you compliant? Visit CalgaryLockAndSafe.com. We're available on Apple, Spotify, Amazon, Seeker, or wherever you get your podcasts, and live right here on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. The text line is open at 960-960. I promise you the phone lines aren't open, but the text line is open at 960-960. What's up, Wes?
How are you, buddy?
Oh, doing better this hour than I was last year.
Hour two is off to a furious start. Nobody has spilled any beverage yet.
We were 2 for 2 last hour. If you heard the first hour of the program, you would have heard some very interesting things while we got through it.
And if you had the station tapped, you would have heard some very interesting language.
Yeah, no kidding. Hey, feels like maybe the Flames are starting to find something in Joel Farabee of late. Hey, feels like maybe we're starting to see something turn the corner in that regard. He's opened the scoring in the last two games, and Saturday's goal was the only goal in a 1-0 win over Montreal. Are we starting to see him settle in a little bit, do you think?
I think we're absolutely starting to see that. I think we're absolutely seeing a guy who has not just settled in to the city a little bit, I suppose let the chaos of the trade, you know, behind them now. But I think what we've also seen is they've found a really nice fit on that line with Michael Backlund and Blake Coleman. I think we talk all the time about how you can sort of put anyone with Coleman and Backlund and have a pretty good feeling that it's going to work. And yet, man, Joel Farabee looks as comfortable and as well-suited for that spot as anyone I can remember since Andrew Mangiapane. And that is not to take away from what I thought was a really good run of Matt Coronato in that place. I just think Farabee is sort of a perfect complement, albeit in a small sample size so far, for what those two veterans bring to the table.
So this is here's Michael Backlund. First of all, I asked him on Saturday's Flames Talk postgame about just this, how we're starting to see Joel Farabee fit in on that line with him and Blake Coleman. This was Michael Backlund postgame on Saturday.
I think he compliments us really well. He's playing a smart game. He knows when to chip pucks, you know, or make a simple play, or when to hold on to it. And as you can see today and last game, he can make some really nice goals. So he's been it's been fun playing with him. I think we've been playing really well last three games together.
So I this year it's been the best fit so far that I think they've had. You know, Andrew Mangiapane was the perfect fit there for so long, and we've seen different guys who have fit really well with Michael Backlund. But you know, Coronato was a good fit too. Actually, I'll give that. But I think Coronato, you always knew that was probably going to be a temporary situation for him. I could see Joel Farabee being on that line for a long time. I could see that being a long-term fit for the Flames in their forward group.
Yeah, absolutely. And especially because of what it frees you up to do with Coronato elsewhere. Like I think Matt Coronato was a nice fit with Backlund and Coleman. I don't want to be guilty of revisionist history saying, oh, well, it wasn't the best fit, it's Joel Farabee. I just think what we've seen in the last four games and you know, a couple goals obviously highlight that. I think this is the guy who can really be the match for those guys, and probably wasn't going to be the match, although he did start there when he arrived in Calgary with Huberto and Kadri. I'm not sure top line is probably the best fit for Joel Farabee, which is why I like him a lot better where he is right now.
You asked head coach Ryan Huska about him after practice on Monday. I'll play the clip because I included the question. But we're seeing him kill penalties, and then that's something that he's done pretty much since getting here. We saw him in the final minute of the game, killing that game on Saturday in a 1-0 win over Montreal. Anyway, you asked the question on Monday after practice.
And I remember back at the start of the year, Jonathan Huberdeau talked lots about sort of being on the penalty kill and feeling more involved that way. Do you think we're seeing the same thing with Farabee a little bit? Like, do you think that added piece has made a difference for him?
Maybe. Just like any workplace, every player wants to feel valued. And I think when they do, you get a better version of that person. I mean, I think that goes without saying. And whether that's a role that he'll continue to take on for us, we're expecting him to. I also think there's power play that's going to come to play for him as well. But I think he's playing his best hockey since he's come over in the trade now, because he's feeling like, I am a valued guy, and we're seeing his best hockey, as we've talked about before.
So that was the head coach when you asked him about, you know, killing some penalties and being in that role, Wes. And, it's the more and more that we see him here, the more and more that I think he's going to get comfortable. And I think a good chunk of the lack of offense that we saw from Farabee to begin with was due to the fact that there was a lot of comfort level that needed to be gained.
Yeah, I think you're right about that. And I also, you know, think it's important to point out that we're not talking about a guy who was traded to Calgary in the midst of a hot streak, right? We're not talking about a guy who arrived at the Saddle Dome on a career best pace. He had eight goals in 50 games with the Philadelphia Flyers. He had 19 points in 50 games with the Philadelphia Flyers. So he arrived here not feeling great, probably, about his offensive game. And certainly, if he was feeling good about it, not having the production this season to back it up. He's a guy who's scored 20 twice in the NHL. We know the skill is there. I just think to expect it to pop right after a trade when it hasn't worked for most of the season, yeah, you always hope that you get that kind of boost from the change of scenery, but it's not always instantaneous. And
definitely
I do think One thing that we've discussed and is so hard to quantify, but we all know it's real. There's something about Michael Backlund and Blake Coleman that they're like a shot in the arm of confidence for whoever they're playing with. I think it's just that kind of warm blanket effect that, you know, if you mess something up, you're probably not going to wind up hearing about it, because those guys are just going to make sure it gets sort of glossed over. They're going to be in the right spot.
I wanted to, sorry for cutting you off.
No, you're good, buddy.
Really excited to say this for one reason.
Excited to see your mic still works.
Kind of. I wanted to just touch on the thing that you said about the confidence level, and it's not like he was having a banner season. He was struggling in Philadelphia this year, and one of the things I was told, and one of the things that was really imparted on me when they acquired him, is this might take some time with this player specifically. Both Frost and Farabee, as the season went on in Philadelphia, kind of found themselves in the doghouse of John Tortorella for whatever reason.
Right.
But
are we going to play his second snipe of the night?
Absolutely. So
perfect.
And I was told that, you know, maybe Farabee was the guy that had more of the deeper cuts from and more of the wounds that need to heal from his last year and a half with John Tortorella. And let me play this clip. This was post game on Saturday. He scores the only goal in the 1-0 win over Montreal and was asked about being out there. It was actually Matty Rose who asked the question, being out there in the final minute trying to preserve the win.
I started my career in Philly, as a guy that would kind of go out there in the last minute. And then when Torts came in, that was no longer. So it's really nice to be trusted and to be out there, and playing with Coles and backs, they make it real easy. They're in the right spots. The amount of pucks they just touch or flag out is really impressive. So they make it pretty easy.
Yeah, a little snipe there at John Tortorella, and look, it can take some time to get your confidence back. And when he was really quote unquote struggling earlier in his time with the Flames, one of the things is that I might not even be making my definitive judgment on Farabee until sometime next season, because I did think there was going to be a little of the rehabbing of the confidence when it comes to this player, even more so than Morgan Frost. And maybe that still is the case, but definitely being put on the backline line with Michael and Blake Coleman, I think is really, because you've seen the difference in his game basically as soon as that happened.
Yeah.
And then he scores that was a very confident goal scorer's goal in Dallas, and a pretty confident goal that he scored against Montreal. I mean, he, as Michael explained to me, like, Joel did a good job getting the puck at the blue line, moving it down low, and then not just moving into a position to get the shot away, but like moving into a position was like demanding the puck, like, get the puck on my stick. I've got a great opportunity. Yeah. Backlund was like, I was more than happy to give it to him. He walked right in, backed off the D-man and ripped it past Dobish and scored the only goal. That's two confident goals, sure, that Farabee scored in two games
and,
now.
And I'd only add on that sequence, you know, I was really impressed by the flash screen, the sort of drive-by from Blake Coleman, and yet there's a huge onus on the shooter in that scenario to take advantage of that. You have to time that shot. So you mentioned him making himself available for that pass, basically, you know, putting himself in a position to demand the pass, but then he times the release really well. Like, as soon as Coleman takes the eyes away from the Canadiens goaltender, that puck is sizzling past him. And so a really impressive sequence there. And I think, to go back to the friendly little jab at John Tortorella, Joel Farabee's minutes are actually down in Calgary so far. It's small sample size, but I do think what you're seeing here with him playing with Backlund and Coleman is now his, like, the confidence is surging. And I think, so you get here as Joel Farabee, you're, you know, running on fumes. You've just been traded for the first time in your career. Oh yeah, you're going through a bit of a slump of a season. You get an opportunity to start on the top line. Doesn't work out. You're taken off that line. Like, we saw him briefly previously with Backlund and Coleman, he was bounced around a lot, right? And I go back to what Ryan Huska said today about you want a guy to feel valued. Well, every time he got bounced to a different line, there was a mid-game demotion to the fourth line. I think Farabee's probably sitting there going, geez, where do I fit here? Mm-hmm. You know, we have 10 top nine forwards, and how long am I going to have one of those spots? And, you know, why am I not seeing as much power play time as maybe I thought? Why, for a stretch of that, was he off the penalty kill, sort of getting that opportunity back when Yegor Sharangovich was a healthy scratch? And credit to him, he didn't allow that to sort of sidetrack him. But I think before he was thrown there 4 games ago with Backlund and Coleman, it was probably a little feeling of, well, where do I fit here? What is my role here going to be? And the one, I suppose, perk of playing with Backlund and Coleman is it couldn't be more obvious what your role is, right? I suppose it's the same as playing with Kadri and Huberdeau. If you're on that line, you're there to do one thing, and that's produce offense. That's not saying in the Flames system that you don't have to take care of the other end, but you know exactly what your role on the team is. And I would say that with Backlund and Coleman too. Even though Joel Farabee has scored in back-to-back games, the offense and the role he's in takes on the shape of a little more of a bonus, because you know exactly what you're going to do. You're going to work against the top line. That's your job. You're the shutdown, yeah, line. And I think that very clear role has been good for Farabee.
I'm excited to see where it goes from here. I'm excited that it's starting to maybe pop for him a little bit. And 2 goals in 2 games, 2 confident goals. A couple of texts for you at 960-960. This says, as a fan who has never been a fan of Michael, I do admit players sure flourish when they play with them. Biggest example is Tkachuk, who raved about him, and Matthew Tkachuk still raves about what playing with Michael Backlund did for his career. Dale in Red Deer says, I truly believe Conroy added 20-plus goal scorers from Philadelphia, and you can see some confidence growing. And if Calgary's going to make it, I have a feeling those two are going to be a major difference. I've been the major force of Team Tank up until now, but why beat them anymore? You got to join them. I hope they make it at this point. And this says, Pat Elliott mentioned on 32 Thoughts when the trade first happened that he sees Farabee as the X factor. He said that if Farabee can find a home in Calgary and become a consistent player, this trade could end up being a landslide win for the Flames. Do you think he's trending in that direction so far? Too early to tell because, you know, he scored in his second game as a member of the Flames. Is that what it was? Second or third game as a member of the Flames?
Yeah, I think it was third because it was a home game. And so
that's right.
Yeah,
that's
I think right. It would have to be the third game.
And then didn't score.
Also scored twice that night, right? One
got waved off.
One got waved off. And so.
And then didn't score for 8 or 9 games in a row, and now has scored in the last two. So a little early to tell whether or not he is or isn't finding it, but it definitely is a positive trend.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a positive. One of the discussions or one of the talking points with Joel Farabee in Philadelphia was always his contract, right? You know, this was always a bang for buck scenario. The reason that they were ready to move on from Joel Farabee is that he didn't fit their salary structure. He was in John Tortorella's doghouse and he wasn't producing to his salary. And so I think this is a good start, although, you know, that potential discussion always hangs there if you go through a bit of a dry spell, yep. Right? It's 5 times 5. Do I have that right?
Yep.
Yeah.
This says the Backlund bump goes back as far as Backlund and Frolik, in which it absolutely does. In fact, might even go back a little bit beyond that. I remember when Backlund was raising the games of Joe Colburn and Lance Boma and guys like that.
Yeah, the Backlund bump is real. And
it's like 10-plus years of being real.
Yeah, Frolik to me was more like Blake Coleman, where he was a guy who sort of...
No, I think that's what the text was getting at. Like those two...
Yeah.
But I was saying even before Frolik got there and they were a duo,
right.
Backlund was raising games of guys.
For sure. And Frolik and Backlund, similar to Backlund and Coleman as a tandem, like you just... Who needs a little fixing? Put them there.
With those guys. Just quickly, you wrote about this over the weekend over at Post Media, but I just wanted to quickly talk about Joel Hanley, who played almost 24 minutes in the win over Montreal.
Career high.
Not even just a career high, but like career high by almost 2 minutes. His prior career high was 22 minutes when he was still with the Canadiens. He played 22 minutes in an April game in 2016. He played 23:55 on Saturday. I went and did a little bit of digging. So that was the 9th time in his career that Joel Hanley ever played more than 20 minutes in an NHL game.
Yeah.
He did once with Dallas, the one I mentioned with Montreal, which was his prior career high, and the other 7 times with Calgary. But 6 of those 9 times and 6 of the 7 times with Calgary have come since December 31st. December 31st to March 8th. We've seen him do that 6 times. Prior to that, he'd only ever done it 3 times in his NHL career, which just continues to beg the question, how did this guy become so important on this Flames blue line?
Well, and I did some similar digging, so let me throw one more stat in there before I answer your question. This is his 3rd time over 20 minutes, like you said. So he's played 228 games in the NHL, 9 times over 20 minutes. 3 of those have come in the Flames 5 games in the month of March. Like, we've reached the point that it would actually be a surprise if he doesn't play 20 minutes Wednesday in a crucial game against the Vancouver Canucks.
Yep.
I had a really interesting chat with Joel Hanley the other night in the Flames locker room, ice pack on his foot after blocking that shot early in the 3rd period. And I would really urge you to go check it out on the Post Media sites. Joel Hanley hasn't gotten a ton of media attention, so if you Google Joel Hanley, I promise it'll pop up. One of the things he said to me, and I appreciate the honesty, and it was so interesting to hear him put it this way. One of the things he said to me was, because he was a 7th defenseman in Dallas, he kind of believed that's all he was. Like, he, one of the things that he's really worked on, and it's been with the Flames mental performance coach, Matt Brown, it's been just in conversations with his family, and it's been with a chaplain here in Calgary. One of the things he's really worked on is building up that self-belief to be ready for an opportunity like this. And he's, you know, he told me, and I don't have it right in front of me, so I'm going to be paraphrasing here, but he told me, you know, the coaches here have shown faith in me, and maybe the missing part was my self-belief in myself. I urge you, go check it out. There's some really interesting comments from Joel Hanley in there, and it's a guy who's become just a huge part of the equation in this playoff push. Like, I think it was a formality that he was leaving as a UFA this summer, and now I'm even starting to wonder about that part of it.
That's a conversation for another time, I think, because I still think you need to make room for some of these defense after this season. But for the rest of this season, yeah, Joel Hanley has been huge for this group. And I talked to him probably about a month ago, similar conversation, and basically asked him about, what was your reaction when you saw you were playing next to Mackenzie Weegar for a game? He's like, I thought I had to do a double take. Like, I was like, this can't be right. And then all the guys started giving me a hard time, and I was like, I guess this is happening. Like, I had no idea why this was happening. I wasn't expecting it. Because I remember one day, I don't know if it was a morning skate or a practice, but one day you're watching the pairings, you're like, no, that's Hanley with Weegar every time through, and Uyghur's on the right. Like, there's not, because it had been for the most part prior to that, Weegar on the left with Miramanov is what they've really had really been trying, and it wasn't working. And so an entire practice, you're like, whoa, Hanley on the left with Weegar. Like, that's not, they don't move Weegar to the right side for an entire practice. This isn't just like a fun thing or a rotation. This is clearly something they're looking at. But I guarantee you, I didn't think it was still going to be a thing on March 10th. And not only still a thing on March 10th, but one of the reasons why they're still in the playoff race is because Joel Hanley has been able to solidify himself as Mackenzie Weegar's everyday partner. Yeah. And nobody, not any one of you, including Joel, had that on the bingo card entering training camp when we all thought he was number 8 on the depth chart. And that is on us for not giving the guy enough credit, and I'll happily eat that crow all day, because it's an awesome story, and good on him for making us all look a little silly with where we probably had him slotted on this team going forward.
Yeah, and listen, this might be a short-lived story, and by that I just mean, you know, it's no secret that the Calgary Flames were hoping in the lead up to the trade deadline to upgrade that position, right? That's what they're looking for, is a left-handed top four defenseman. Well, if they find one, who's coming out? Joel Hanley. Like you said, there is a discussion moving forward to let Joel Hanley, despite playing 24 minutes the other night, despite probably playing 20-ish minutes a night down the stretch, there's going to be a conversation to let him walk to create space. Like, this is a position that you're looking to upgrade. We're not sitting here saying the search for a top four defenseman is fixed. It's Joel Hanley. But I think when you look at him and you look at the history of a guy who's only played 20 minutes in the NHL 9 times in his career, he deserves a hell of a lot of credit for the way he's handled this, and for the way he's taken the opportunity and done what Daniil Miramanov and Jake Bean and Ilya Solovyov didn't do.
And he's doing this all at the age of 33.
Yeah.
It's pretty cool. Like, he's playing the most he has in his NHL career at the age of, and if he plays the remaining 19 games, he will tie his NHL high. He will go well
shatter
over.
Shatter it.
He'll shatter it. Sorry, that's some poor math. See, if he plays even 10 of the remaining 19 games, he will go past his prior career high. And so he could end up with 54 games played, which is 10 more than what he played in 21-22 with the Stars.
One of the ways I put it in what I wrote yesterday is, who would have imagined a scenario when Joel Hanley would hobble off the ice after a blocked shot and everyone in the crowd would be thinking, oh, that's not good. Like, no disrespect to a fourth liner or a third pairing guy when they block a shot and it looks like they're in pain. Everyone's hoping that it's not a significant injury, and yet you don't always think, oh boy, this would be a hard loss to weather, right? Joel Hanley's a guy, if he blocked a shot in November and you were wondering if his foot was broken, the second part of that is not, how would they weather that loss? It's a huge credit to him that he's made it so that they need Joel Hanley.
Yep.
And we've probably never said that on Flames Talk.
It is, by the way, you can go read that article over on the Post Media sites. Wes Gilbertson spoke with Joel Hanley, and he's been a vital cog in what the Flames have been able to do so far this year. It's Pat and Wes on Flames Talk this hour. We're underway, and we're coming at you from our Groundworks downtown studio, your local experts for foundation and crawl space repair.
Flames Talk is live on Calgary's Hockey Station, Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
It's Pat Steinberg and Wes Gilbertson along with you on this hour of Flames Talk. Thanks for being with us on a Monday. And you know, on Mondays, we take a closer look at the number one affiliate of the Calgary Flames, the Calgary Wranglers. And that's what we're doing right now. We're saying hello to Joe Cirella, the head coach of the Wranglers. Since we last chatted with Joe, a couple losses to Coachella Valley at home on Tuesday and Wednesday. Close loss, 6-5 on Saturday in Manitoba before a big 3-2 win over the Moose on Sunday. Wranglers now sit 31-21-6. They are third in the AHL's Pacific Division. And Joe Cirella, head coach of the Wranglers, joins us on the Atlas Pizza and Sports Bar guest hotline right now. Joe, appreciate the time as always. It's Pat and Wes on this Monday. How you doing today?
Good, Pat. Wes, how are you guys doing?
We're doing well. We're doing well. It's great to chat with you as always. I'm curious as to how you're feeling about, I know the week in terms of results, not exactly what you were looking for, but it finishes with that big win on Sunday on the road. Just overall, how are you looking at the last week or so from your group?
Well, I think we had a lot of soul searching to do, against Coachella, where we really didn't play well at all, and I think it was a total group wake up, and I think we had to refocus going on the road and playing Manitoba, where we, I thought we made strides the first game. We still made mistakes. I think we're in that identity where, how do we have to play? And, I think we made strides, but we still were trying too much. I don't think we had great performances from everybody. And, with how we're set up right now, I think everyone has to be accountable now. And, starting from, the goaltending all the way, the defense and the forwards, we have to play together as a group, a five-man group when you're on the ice. And, I think we ended off our last game, when we look analytically, I think it was our best in the sense that, we generated, 20 chances for, 10 high danger chances. We only gave up 14 chances and only 4 high danger chances. And I think that relates to the, even though it was a 3-2 win, I don't think it was a 3-2 out score in the sense that, we took too many penalties at the end. In the third period, we took 4 penalties and they ended up getting a power play goal. But I thought overall, in general, our 5-on-5 play was much better, and I think that's what we have to build on. I think it gives us an identity moving forward that this is the way we have to play. You got to play solid defensively, and I think the offense with the personnel that we have, I think you can generate playing within that structure. and create enough that you're going to win a lot of those one goal games. And, you know, it takes a little while to get there. But I hope we've turned the corner and identified the issues, and we're looking forward to our next two games.
Joe, you hear often the saying adversity reveals character. And I want to ask you, cause you know, it's been tough. It's been tough for your team. Coaches don't talk about soul searching when things are going really well, but what do you learn about a group and also from a development standpoint, what does it maybe reveal about individuals when you go through a stretch like this?
It's a great question because, you know, you don't really talk about it. You know, when it especially this group here where, you know, at the start of the year when you're rolling, I think your offense really covered up a lot of the issues that, you know, were sort of brewing, right? Like, it was unsustainable. We knew that as a coaching staff. You try, you know, monitoring that. You try reeling them in. But it's human nature. They're young kids and they're, you know, they're going, why is he yelling at us? And why are they, you know, why is things so tough? Why are we working on D zone? And you know what I mean? Like, it's
for sure,
kind
yeah.
of funny, you know, but in the long run, you're trying to, you know, make them understand that, you know, going forward, like the NHL is a different animal than the AHL, right? Like that, you know, it's tight. The guys are that much bigger, stronger, more skilled. And, you know, down here, you make a lot more mistakes and sometimes you get away with it. Sometimes you get some, you know, great goaltending for stretches. But I think the teams that really focus in on you know, playing the right way and learning defense first, you know, are the teams that are at the top of the, you know, at the top of the standings. And, you know, we have a young group of defensemen. And I'm not just saying it's the defensemen. It's a team defense that you have to, sort of, encourage and teach. And, you know, sometimes it's hard, you know, like you're still winning games, you're showing the things, but it's habits that we, you know, now after you've gone through a stretch like we have, I think it's, hey, okay, there's a lot of soul searching. This is the way that it has to be. It's a proven recipe. And now, you know, for development purposes, the guys that continue to do it and the guys that do it consistently, this is how you're going to get out of this. And, you know, it's hard work. It's mental. It's physical. It's, you know, it's a test to everyone's, you know, aptitude that this is what we have to do as a group to succeed. And like I said, I just hope that, you know, the last game, you know, you're going to focus in on a lot of the positives of that, and you're going to work on it. Like, we got, you know, a couple of good days of practice coming up. And, you know, I think that's the main focus is going to be that. And the other stuff will come, you know, like I said, it's proven. We can score when we have to score. I know we went through a rough patch, but, you know, there was a lot of personnel changes in there, right? Like, you know, you got guys being called up, you know, guys getting injured, you know, but you have to deal through that adversity. And the players that are coming up, or the players that now are stepping up to get those opportunities, you know, now here's your opportunity. And what are you doing with that, that opportunity? And you see some that thrive, you know, for shifts or games, but you have to do it consistently. And I think that's the big development piece where you get to really understand all the players that you have and try pushing those buttons to get them to consistently understand that.
Let me ask you a follow-up on those young defensemen, and I know you just said it's certainly not all on the defense, but I focus on them. Like, you've got, it's possible on any given night that you've got five defensemen that I believe are 23 and under. Yeah, I have a very young blue line there. Is there, you know, when things have been a little bit rocky, is there anything you can do to try to protect those guys to make sure their confidence doesn't wane?
It's tough, right? Like, because it's hard to protect the guys when you have, like you said, five guys under 23 years old. And, you know, for us, it's learning by making your mistakes and, you know, following up on video and, you know, trying to make them understand. See, hey, you have to understand. You know, sometimes just chipping it out is better than trying to force a play up the middle. Or, you know, work hard for your partner and talk to your partner. Be available for your partner so he doesn't put himself in a situation. So it's trying to make them understand to support one another. Because, like you said, we only have, like, you know, sometimes you only have, you know, maybe one guy that's over that 23 age threshold that can maybe protect the guy. And, you know, sometimes that guy's not, you know, pulling his weight as well, especially in a rough patch. You know, I can't really say that it was one guy sort of leading us because, you know, we were all floundering. And so you really, really have to find the unit of five guys working together, the forwards, the defensemen, the goaltending, everyone's got to help each other. And you know, I'm real proud of the guys last game in the sense that it was probably our most complete game in a long stretch where, you know, when the D went back for the puck, you know, we had center support, we had the wingers support. You know, if one guy faltered, there was a guy right there. And then we ended up breaking the puck out and getting out of our zone. And that's the way that you get out of this little rut that we were in. So we have to build on those little things. And like I said, I hope that we've turned the corner. We're going to really hit home on it this week in practice. And, you know, hopefully that you don't get into those stretches that can really put you in a bad place. So, you know, like I said, I'm confident right now that we've done that, and hopefully we can continue to build on it.
We're chatting with Joe Cirella. He is the head coach of the Calgary Wranglers on this Monday edition of Flames Talk. It's Pat Steinberg and Wes Gilbertson along with you. Just a couple more for you, Joe. And, you know, Wes asked you about confidence levels of young players. I kind of wanted to ask a similar question about Devin Cooley, who was having just an incredible first half of the season, sustained the injury, and I know it's been a little bit more of a struggle for Devin since that point, but, you know, you spend any time around this guy, and it is nothing but positivity and nothing but, like, an infectious attitude, and a big win, big performance from him on Sunday, and I was really happy to see him pick up the victory against Manitoba. But, you know, even while things haven't been going so well for him individually or for the team, I'm curious, have you seen the same things from Devin in terms of his attitude and the positive approach that he brings to the locker room into each and every day?
Yeah, and he, you know, he's a professional, and, you know, he knows his game wasn't where it was. You know, he did feel confident. Like, you know, we did chat after, you know, the last game, and, you know, he said, you know, hey, you know, I said, great job. And he was like, yeah, you know, I wish I could have did this a little earlier. So it's one of those, you know, we have to protect him as well, right? Like, we didn't do things as a group in front of him to make him succeed. And, you know, he's battling away. And, you know, you're seeing, you know, different types of goals going in. But that's, you know, that's hockey. And we have to you know, be accountable for each other, right? And, you know, from a coaching staff, we're trying to find solutions without, you know, hurting other parts of your game. And, you know, I think when we really buckle down in this D zone, because he's going to make those saves, right? Like, if we limit the number of high danger chances other teams are getting, he's going to make those saves that you expect him to, you know, to make. And then in turn, that gives you, you know, he made some saves in the second period that really turned our confidence around, you know, offensively. And, we went out and scored a couple goals. And, you know, then, like I said, we ended up giving up a 5-on-3 goal. But then we held off after that. You know, we didn't really give them much. Even when they tried pulling the goalie, we ended up, you know, getting the puck back down in their zone and kept it down in their end. And they didn't even have any D-zone time against us. So, you know, it's a credit to the players. It's a credit to Devin. You know, he's a major factor in our success. And, you know, we hope he continues to do what he does. And we, as a group in front of him, and can limit those opportunities and give ourselves chances to win, you know, consistently going forward in these last 14 games.
You've got the week to practice here, Joe, and then you're back on the road Saturday, Sunday next week as well. You've got the Abbotsford Canucks for a couple of tough ones in their building. I guess set us up for those two and maybe what the week ahead looks like for your group.
Yeah, tomorrow there's a development a day where they'll work on some skills, but then we have 2 days of full practices with the boys. Everyone's starting to get healthy, I think, and hopefully, I'm looking at Sam Honzik. We could get him back in the lineup, which will, you know, be a good plus. And then, like I said, Abbotsford's, you know, we've played them tough all year long, and, you know, they're a good hockey club. They have, you know, a lot of veteran players. They're deep. They got 4 good lines. They got solid defensive players, and you know, their goaltending is pretty good. So, you know, it's a good matchup for us going in there. You know, we're no strangers to them because we play them enough over the last few years. So it's always good for a good battle, and we're looking forward to it.
Appreciate the time as always, Joe. Thank you so much. And we'll do it again next week. And hopefully it's a good weekend for your group on the road in Abbotsford. Thank you so much for doing this. Hey,
thanks, Pat. Thanks, Wes. You guys take care.
You be well. Thanks so much, Joe. Joe Cirella is the head coach of the Calgary Wranglers, joining us on the Atlas Pizza and Sports Bar guest hotline, serving the best pizza, pasta, steaks, and ribs for over half a century. Dine in at 6060 Memorial Drive Northeast or call 403-248-3344 for pickup or delivery. As we start to wrap things up this hour on the program, he's Wes Gilbertson on Twitter at Wes Gilbertson. My name is Pat Steinberg. Cam Hughes and Shan Vergie are outstanding producers this hour. And this hour has been the Sports Drive, brought to you by Calgary Lock and Safe. Did you know that barrier-free access doors are required for commercial entrances and public washrooms? Are you compliant? Visit CalgaryLockAndSafe.com.